You are listening to the podcast of Richland Hills Baptist Church. We are located in Richland Hills, Texas. Our desire here is to believe, live, and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you're listening to our podcast today, if you have any questions, you can find us on the web at richlandhillsbc.com. God bless you.
All right, if you have your Bibles open to John chapter 15, and we will be looking again and continually for the next couple weeks at chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Are there any gardeners in the house? Anybody likes to garden here? Yeah, we got some gardeners here. David Pennington, raise your hand. I know you like to garden. And Jen and I, we like to garden. I wouldn't say we're competent at it, but we like it. We enjoy it. And we have a little plot that we have, and it's gotten better, you know, through the years. You tend the soil, but what would happen the first couple years is we'd have this garden, and it would look really good, right? The plants would seem to be great. They're green, and, I mean, they look like they're good, and then something would happen almost invariably for a few years. There would be nothing, right? It would look good and nothing would grow. Like no tomatoes, no peppers. It would just look good and not grow. And obviously that's not much of a garden, is it? You know, we don't look for a garden for pretty plants. We look for fruit, right? You look for tomatoes and peppers, whatever it may be. And that reminds me a little bit of the Christian life. And you see, in this passage, in this section of Scripture, Jesus is going to use some familiar language, some familiar ideas to help us understand what it means to abide in Him. Last week, we saw that in this passage, when we think about abiding in Christ and what that means, and again, we're going to slowly kind of build throughout the weeks to kind of really unpack and understand this idea of abiding. But one of the first things that we saw is that when we want to abide, we need to know who it is we're abiding in. And Jesus, right there at the very beginning, what does He say? I am the true vine, which is a picture of His divinity, who He is, God in the flesh. And when we abide in Jesus, we are abiding in God. We are abiding in our teacher, the one that wants to teach us and lead us. We're abiding in Jesus, who is the source of our life, spiritual life especially. And so we know who we're abiding in, but today I want us to see what is really the goal of abiding. What is it? What is the goal really of the Christian life? What is it that our lives are supposed to look like here? And I want you to consider this idea for a moment. There is no such thing as a fruitless Christian. There is no such thing as a Christian who never bears fruit. And I want you to think about that idea as we look at John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless you abide in the vine, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Father, may you bless and honor the reading and preaching and teaching of your word. May it be, Lord, your words that are imparted this morning. I pray that each heart would be receptive to your word. Let us hear and receive and believe. In Jesus' name, amen. There is no such thing as a fruitless Christian, right? You think about just that tomato plant, right? Like, if it doesn't grow a tomato, that's not much of a tomato plant, is it? You just get rid of it. It's not useful. And so Jesus is going to speak of the Christian life. He's going to speak of really this picture and the point of why we're here is that we are called to be fruit-bearing people. We are called to bear spiritual fruit. Our lives are meant to be transformed and changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want us to consider, I mean, that right here is the biggest idea, fruit. You're supposed to bear fruit. But the question, it comes up, and this is important. What does it mean that Jesus says that we're supposed to bear fruit? What does it mean to bear fruit? A couple of things I want you to see. I want you to see, before we really kind of get there, I want you to understand the imagery that Jesus is using here. It's pretty clear, but let's think about it. He's speaking of the imagery of a grapevine, right? He speaks of a vine, right? A vine, there would be grapes growing on it. And so right away, look at this picture. He says, I am the true vine. Jesus is the true vine. So you have a vine, he says, I'm the vine. And then off the vine, what do you see? You see branches, right? You see branches that extend from the vine. And off those branches, you see fruit. He says, you are the branches. I'm the vine, you are the branches. And then he says, my Father is the vine dresser, or really that word is just farmer. My Father is the farmer, the one that's tending to the vine. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. God tends to us. And so that's the picture that he's using. And so when Jesus says that he is the vine, remember what we said. Jesus, it is the vine that gives life, right? Without the vine, there is no fruit. Without the vine, you don't get grapes, right? You could have a branch. You could take a branch off of a vine, right? And it's not going to do anything. It needs to be attached to the source. And so right away, when we think about what fruit is, when it says bear fruit, what does it mean to bear spiritual fruit? Right away, what we see is that bearing spiritual fruit is really living out the life of Jesus, right? So think about what the vine does, right? From the vine is really the life that goes through the branches. It's kind of seeping through the branches. So fruit then is you and I living out the life of Jesus. And so all through Scripture, all through the New Testament, the Gospels, we see the life of Jesus displayed for us. And so one of the first things about bearing fruit is the life of Christ through us. Right? It's the life of Christ. Think about the fruit that a vine will grow, right? There's a certain type. I don't know that much about grapes or grape farming. But I know enough to, right? If you have a vine that will grow a particular type of grape, right? It has to be from that vine, right? I think of it as tomatoes. If I have a tomato that is supposed to grow cherry tomatoes, it doesn't grow usually big, giant, what they call beefsteak tomatoes. It doesn't do that because the fruit comes from the vine. And so the life of Christ flows through us, and we are supposed to live out what Jesus lived out all through the Gospels. We see the love of Jesus. We see the truth of Jesus, Him speaking truth. We see the forgiveness of Jesus, the faithfulness of Jesus. We see the love for the Father in Jesus. So all these things right here, it says, listen, if you want to abide in Jesus and grow fruit in your life, one of the things for each of us is that we are supposed to look like Jesus. I don't mean physically, right? We're supposed to look like Him in word and deed. Your life, you and I should be like a little Christ, if you will, which is really what Christian means. We're supposed to live out. We're supposed to be like Christ. And so right away, the question when we hear this, the question we always have to ask ourselves right away internally is, am I living out the life of Jesus? Does my life reflect Jesus? Do my words reflect Jesus? Does the way that I love one another, does it reflect Jesus? So does your life look like Jesus? So that's one of the things about spiritual fruit. The other aspect of spiritual fruit that we would think of would be the book of Galatians. You can turn there if you like. The book of Galatians, chapter 5, is one that is very useful, right? When we think about spiritual fruit, the things we do and say and think, he says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is Galatians, 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. And so the other aspect, and again, this is the life of Jesus displayed, isn't it? He says, listen, here's the fruit of the Spirit. All these things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But I want you to make note of something. You can even underline it in your Bible. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. That's a singular word, isn't it? He doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. He says the fruit. Do you know what that means? Is that all of these things together are one fruit. This is not a list that you and I get to pick and choose from. Well, you know, I'd sort of like to be more patient. So I'm going to be more patient. No, listen, all of this is meant to be one fruit, the life of Christ lived through us. Now, obviously, there are areas in our life of this list that we understand. We have to grow in that. But we don't get to just decide that, well, you know, gentleness, I'm not really a gentle person, but I'm going to be kind and good. It doesn't work that way. We don't get to decide what parts of Jesus' life that we get to live out. Oh, Jesus said, you know, turn the other cheek. Well, I can't do that, but man, I can flip some tables in the temple. No, that's not what it means to live out the life of Christ. This is one fruit. And so the fruit of the Spirit is all of these things. And then if you go further, if you go back to John 15, further in this passage, going from 12 and onward, he then does talk about love and loving one another. He talks about loving one another. You're having the joy. And so one of those elements of that fruit, and I think really ties it all together, is love. The Bible says, you will know, the world will know you are my disciples, that you love one another. And so are you bearing fruit in your life? Are you bearing fruit? Does your life reflect the life of Jesus? And so Jesus, now he's saying, look, that's the point. That's what it's supposed to be. You can't have a Christian that doesn't bear any fruit. Now, it doesn't mean that, right, that every Christian right away is going to be fully mature fruit. Right? A vine, right away, the fruit doesn't just come out as a giant fruit, right? It has to grow and develop and it becomes bigger and healthier. So yes, you and I aren't going to be fully mature right away, but are you bearing fruit, or at the very least, is there some fruit starting to bud in your life? Are you beginning to look a little bit more like Jesus? Are you beginning to grow? And that's especially true if you're a new Christian. Do you have fruit? But if you've been a Christian for many years, your life should reflect Jesus Christ. But here's the picture as he goes further. He says, okay, here's the two options, if you will. Here's the two things. He says, okay, if you have a vine and you have branches, you're either going to have a branch that bears no fruit, or you're going to have a branch that bears fruit. And Jesus speaks really strongly when he says, if you have a branch that bears no fruit, that branch is going to be cut off. It's going to be thrown away and put into the fire. Because a branch that doesn't bear fruit, it really hinders the health and liveliness of that vine, doesn't it? Takes up space, it takes up nutrients, right? So a good gardener, he's gonna take those out. This is a bad vine, the bad branch, it's not good. Now, this is important for us to think about, because what is Jesus saying here? Now, I want you to remember, this whole passage is not necessarily about salvation. It's about fruit. Because some people look at this and they say, well, does that mean that somebody could lose their salvation somehow? Like they're a branch and they, you know, they get cut off? No. This is a picture. Remember what I said? There is really not a thing of a Christian who doesn't bear fruit. But there are many people. There are many people in this world that we live in that can look like Christians. Maybe they talk the right way. They have the right words. Maybe they post all the right things on Facebook. They have a church membership. They have a Jesus fish on the back of their car. They have all the things, right? But what Jesus is always reminding us is that there are many people that look to be Christians, but they've never really been saved and transformed in their life. Do you remember what happened right before this? We talked about last week. This is in the Last Supper. And you remember what happened in the Last Supper? Jesus said, there's going to be one of you that betrays me. I mean, these are his disciples, the men that lived with him, walked with him. I mean, they were with him. He says, one of you is going to betray me. Who was it? Judas. And Judas betrayed Jesus. Judas showed that, yes, he looked like he was a part of him. He may have said all the right things, but Judas was not sincere in his faith of Jesus Christ. He was not with them. I mean, he was with them physically, but not spiritually. And Jesus is saying, there are people like that. They're going to be cut off. There are many people in this world that may bear the badge of Christian, but they have never been transformed. Jesus says, those will have no part with me. They're going to be cut off. They're going to be cut off because they do not belong to me in my life. That, to be honest with you, that reality, that truth, that haunts me as a preacher. Because any time I know that when I stand up in any place, it could be in this church, it could be another church, it could be at a men's breakfast, a conference, any gathering of Christians, what haunts me is that I know that any time a group of Christians gather, it's very possible that there is somebody that appears to be Christian but's not redeemed in their life. And that's why every week I preach the gospel. I give an invitation, right, for somebody to receive Christ because I don't know the depth of a person's heart. I don't. And guess what? I can be fooled. I can think, man, this person has it all together. Man, they are great and this is good. But I can be fooled by false fruit. And there is false fruit sometimes. Things that, wow, you think that looks good, but it's not real. But God's not fooled. And so I preach the gospel every week because I don't know. I don't know that this may be the week that somebody their whole life has appeared to be Christian, but they're just pretending. Maybe today would be a day that God would open up somebody's heart and say, you know what? This has not been real. Do you have fruit? But then Jesus says something really fascinating here and actually very interesting because he said, here's the other thing that's going to happen. He says, you're going to have a branch that bears fruit. I mean, this branch is going to bear fruit, but Jesus says, here's what a good farmer does when you have a branch that bears fruit. He says, you're going to prune it so that it can bear more fruit. You're going to tend to this vine, and you're going to prune it. You're going to cut things off, right? You're going to make it even better so that it bears more fruit. And here's the picture. If you are bearing fruit in your life, Jesus is going to prune you to bear more fruit. Now, pruning doesn't necessarily feel good, right? Pruning requires cutting things that, again, kind of shaping things. And so one of the things that we know, one of the ways that we know that we are growing in Christ is that Jesus is working in your life. He is showing you things that don't belong, or he is refining the good things in your life. I think of it like this. Maybe you are beginning to show love to people. You realize, you know what, as a Christian, I'm becoming more loving. And you see that, man, Jesus has called me to love, and I'm loving. Sometimes I believe what Jesus does in our life says, okay, this person's beginning to show the fruit of love. Now let me prune that a little bit to bear more fruit. So then you know what Jesus might do? He might bring someone into your life that's really unlovable. Maybe really difficult. Jesus says, okay, you're growing in love, so now let me give you an extra challenge. Let me prune you a little bit to see how sincere that love is and to help you grow. And so sometimes the challenges that come in your life are Jesus pruning you. Pruning you because you've already showed fruit. So here's the wild thing. The challenges in your life may be the reward of a fruitful life. You might say, I don't want that reward. I want another thing. But listen, Jesus working in your life and bringing hard things in your life is ultimately a good thing. He goes, that way you're going to bear more fruit. Because when this hard person comes in your life, and now you have to really understand deeper what love is, he says, now through that, you're going to be even more loving. Or maybe you're growing in patience, and God says, okay, you're growing in patience, so now we're going to allow something in your life to understand what patience is even more. So one of the ways that Jesus works in your life is he prunes you. Again, pruning can be, it can be cutting things away. And so maybe there are some live things in your life. You think about a branch, even a fruitful branch sometimes can have the little suckers that come off of it that aren't really good, and you cut them off. There may be things in your life that are distracting you from the life of Christ. What is it? What is it in your life that's kind of distracting you from following Jesus? And it can be good things sometimes, not always bad things, but there are things that distract us, and Jesus is gonna kind of prune those things away. Sometimes the pruning is, again, the difficult things that we go through, the trials, the hardship. Because those hardships and those trials, they're going to soften our hearts. They're going to help us to, again, to soften those rough edges in our life. How is he pruning you? And so that means this, if he's pruning us, and this is the real hard part of the Christian life, we are meant to rejoice in that pruning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for working in my life because I want to bear more fruit. Do you want to grow? Do you want your life to be more spiritually impactful and fruitful? Or are you content? I think that's one of the saddest things in modern Christianity is that there are many people that are just content with how they are. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm saved and life is good. And, you know, it's just, I'm good. You know, I've served Jesus. You know, I've done things for him in my life. And, you know, I'm just going to live and coast out the rest of my life. Everything's good. I'm content. And contentment, like Paul's talking about, being content in all things is good. But being complacent in contentment is not good. And there are many people that are complacent. Oh, I don't need to bear more fruit. I don't need to be more loving. I'm plenty loving. I don't need to be more kind, or I'm good. Are you complacent? Are you complacent with where you are in your Christian life? And this whole picture, again, is meant to show us we are called to bear fruit. Your life shouldn't, a year from now, your life should be more fruitful than it is today. Even a month from now, your life should be more fruitful. It should be a continual process of growing fruit. So does your life, is it more spiritually fruitful than it was a year ago? Now sometimes we don't grow because we are not focusing on the source of our life. And we go through some times of being stagnant. We go through periods in our life where we are stagnant in our faith because we are not allowing the source of life in us. Are you stagnant? Are you growing fruit? So this morning, I want you to consider that. Now first, if you are a person that you have you're bearing the label of Christian, let me ask you this question. Are you bearing real spiritual fruit in your life? Is your life, does it picture in any way, I mean, even a small way, does your life, does it reflect the life of Jesus? Are you consciously aware that, yes, I'm supposed to be more like Jesus? The reality is that if that never crosses your mind, if you don't really think at all about how can I live like Jesus, that's not a good sign of spiritual life. Like if that never even, if you don't even think about it, I would urge you to say, do you really know Christ? Because every one of us should desire to grow and say, you know, I responded this way to that person the other day, and that wasn't right. That wasn't the way that I should. You should have that conviction. But if you never have that conviction, if you just live your life for yourself, if you never think about Jesus, then you may be one of those branches that's not real. And again, the idea is not for us to question or doubt whether we're believers, but it's to really ask ourselves, do I really believe in Christ? Have I really been transformed? And again, the gospel is not a gospel of works. It's not a gospel of I have to do more. No, the gospel is this. Jesus Christ, He came to this earth. He died on a cross for our sins, bearing our punishment. And then if we will put our faith in Christ, right, then we will have His righteousness, His life. We don't earn it. We don't get it because of how good you are. It's by faith. It doesn't matter how much you come to church or how much you read the Bible or how many verses you memorize. Those are all good things, but they don't get you to heaven. Have you put your faith? Have you truly trusted Christ? Say, Jesus, I have nothing to offer, but I trust you. Have you done that? And so if you're here this morning, it doesn't matter what your label says, if you've never truly put your faith in Christ, you've never said, Jesus, forgive me, I'm a sinner, I trust you. If you've never said that, not with those words exactly, but just that being the intent of your heart, then I would say you need to think about your eternal soul. But maybe you are a believer, and most of you are, if not all. But the question is, are you growing? Is your life a life of growing fruit? And if maybe, man, maybe you're like, man, there was a time where my life was vibrant and there was a lot of fruit coming from it, but I'm just kind of in a low spot now, then that's a reminder for us to say, okay, I'm getting too far away from the vine. I'm moving too far from the source, and I need to return. I need to look back at the source of my life so that I can bear more fruit. And so that may mean a repentance, right? So you know what? I've been kind of going this way and I just need to turn back to Jesus. And maybe what you and I need to do today is say, Jesus, I'm sorry I've been moving farther away from you. And I believe this whole idea of abiding is meant, again, remember abiding, we're going to talk about this more. It's meant to abide in Christ is to be connected to Him. In relationship. Are you seeking Him? Are you desiring Him? Are you growing in Him? Are you praying? Are you loving Christ? You say, Pastor, I don't know that I have. Just turn back to Him. Turn to Him and say, Jesus, let me follow you. So this morning, as you think about that passage, where are you? Now, maybe you are fruit-bearing and you're fruitful, and this is a very fruitful time in your life. Praise God, that's good. Keep bearing fruit. And just know this, Jesus is going to bring some stuff in your life to help you bear more fruit. Don't turn back from it. Don't turn it away. Rejoice in the challenges that may come because of the spiritual fruit. So where are you? We're going to have a time, just as we do every week, for you to respond. When we say invitation, that's really what it is. It's a time to respond. It's a time to say, okay, God has spoken to me, and now I'm going to respond. And I believe this, that God, anytime that His Word is spoken, anytime His Word is read, preached, He is asking us to respond. And so this morning, would you respond? Respond in faith, trusting Jesus, maybe responding in repentance, maybe a response in joy, rejoicing. Thank you, Jesus. That may just be your response. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in my life. But we ought to always respond to His Word. In fact, I would say that any sermon, any service you come to, there should be some way that you say, okay, Jesus, do this in my life. So what is it this morning? What is that response? Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the reminder of what our lives should look like, and a reminder of what that goal and what our life should be like is that we're bearing spiritual fruit. Thank you for reminding us that our lives should reflect and display the life of Jesus. So, Father, I pray right now that each of us in this place at this time, Lord, that we would desire that our lives would look like Jesus. So, Father, in this moment, in this time of response, in this time to invite people to respond, Lord, put in our hearts right now, Lord, this desire to be more like Jesus. May you stir in us this desire. And Lord, maybe part of this stirring is you're going to show us, you're going to say, okay, here's how you haven't been desiring Jesus. And maybe that hurts a little bit, but Father, allow that to show us how we can desire Christ more. Lord, if there's someone here that has never believed, may you in this moment bring a spirit of conviction. May you bring a spirit of conviction for them to say, you know, I've never really believed. And Father, let them not be hindered by shame or embarrassment, but just believe. But Lord, maybe this morning you just want us to rejoice. And rejoice in you. To rejoice in your Son. To rejoice in the work that He's doing in our lives. And maybe our response, Father, is just to rejoice. Thank you. May we rejoice. Father, may you do a work. Let us not leave here today without responding in some way. We thank you, Lord. We love you. Let our lives magnify you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.